I'm tired of these clout chasing, no chemistry having, over the hill gatekeeping radio podcast hosts who just provide no culturally contextual commentary.
We actually got some of that.
This is Touchdowns and Tangents, your weekly spot for NFL takes, topical tangents, and context for the culture. So tune in, because you never know if you're going to take a tangent. But either way, it's a touchdown.
What's good, y'all? Kenneth Berry here, Touchdowns and Tangents. Yes, I know it's Thanksgiving. Some of you are probably going to be like, why the fuck are you in the studio right now, bro? Because I've worked so many different jobs. Thanksgiving is just another day to me. And honestly, I spent literally all day cooking and just looked at the food and told my mom and sister, like, hey, y'all go ahead and make your own plate. I don't even feel like eating this shit. I don't know. It's weird. It's like, today felt like a labor of love. But anyways, Touchdowns and Tangents, episode 202. Shout out to everybody out there chilling with your families. To all you people alone for the holidays, my prayers are with you. And keep your head up. You know, create a TikTok or some shit. I don't know. But yeah, good news radio, good news sports. Now, normally, this would probably be a much more energetic show. But I'm just be honest with y'all. Yeah, I spent the whole day fucking cooking. Like, I'm gonna be petty probably for the next 40 minutes. So to come up with a list of names for what I call today, it's called Thanksgiving, but honestly, let's be real. Happy, they raped all our ancestors and renamed us and reclassified us day. Happy, I'm just glad I got off work today. Happy, I had to work today, but I got time and a half day. Shout out to anybody who didn't get time and a half. I feel sorry for you and your job fucking sucks. Happy, let me see. Happy, hey, is that one cousin coming to the dinner? Okay, bet. Y'all gonna walk to 7-Eleven a little bit later day. So, however you celebrate today, don't really matter to me. Hope it works out for you. In the end, hopefully you're not a Cowboys fan, because boy, did they shat the bed, like, entirely. Like, a bunch of football stuff happened after we recorded last week, and even more news broke today. So, it's going to be a pretty quick show, mostly because I'm the only motherfucker here, and I'm going to drop this off. Go back home, get drunk on some wine, and, you know, actually eat the food I cooked today. But to start things off, Joe Burrow, number one overall pick in this year's draft, tore his ACL and his MCL against the WTFs, the Washington football team. They played today and destroyed the Cowboys. But this past Sunday, when Joe Burrow and the Bengals played against them, he got hit on a play. I mean, Chase Young almost knocked him unconscious on one play. But then on another play, he got hit. His leg buckled. You can see his leg buckle and then, like, kind of dislocate a little bit. Like, he has, like, severe structural damage towards ACLs, MCL, out for the year. Hopefully they're saying it's not like a Teddy Bridgewater injury, because he was out for a couple years. But boy, are the Bengals honestly snake bitten. Like, AJ Green got hurt. They wouldn't let him go. Joe Mixon got hurt. The savior of their franchise blows out his knee, trying to keep them competitive. It's kind of sad, actually. But that's just the kind of thing that happens. So, you know, for him, the road that he's been on, from being a backup at Ohio State and finally getting his chance, and, like, all three of the dudes that were ahead of him at QB all ended up in the NFL, those are shitty odds, but that's an amazing quarterback room. But, yeah, is what it is. So, not only did the Rams and the Bucks play, you know, they had a, whew, it was kind of a really good game. Rams pulled it away at the end. Tom Brady, the most rewarding thing is Tom Brady threw two picks, and they were both to a guy, Jordan Fuller, who also was drafted 199th overall. And that's what pretty much sealed the game for the Bucs against the Rams, because the Rams couldn't stop them. Honestly, you know, Brady kept driving the ball down and then kept turning the ball over. It was literally kind of his fault that they lost. And then Bruce Arians, I swear, Bruce Arians and Tom Brady are going to shoot the fade when the season's over. Because the whole season between them two has just been nothing but...
Oh, man. Hey.
That's literally all it's been with them two. Like, he pretty much said, you know, depends on what kind of quarterback play we're going to get. I think Brady's just about tired of his shit. He's like, first off, he's fedora-wearing asshole who never won a Super Bowl as a head coach. Calm your shit. I'm telling you, I just, y'all be warned, when somebody's season implodes, you're going to see Tom Brady, who, by the way, is a shitty sportsman, because he, for the second time, did not go to shake Jared Goff's hand. He just refused to shake Jared Goff's hands. He didn't shake Nick Foles' hands. I guess any QB that can beat him or he feels is beneath him, he just won't shake their hand. But y'all killed Cam Newton his whole career, you know, just for being black and flamboyant. But it is what it is. Buccaneers, even with that amazing defense, still really couldn't find a way to put it all together. Jason Pierre-Paul, that dude, for a guy who blew like almost six of his fingers off, still out here getting interceptions. Like, in defensive lineman, everybody thought his career was over. He damn near might end up with 100 sacks for his career. It's actually quite impressive for a dude who blew most of his fingers off in a fireworks accident. So it is what it is. Now, Adam Thielen, Minnesota Vikings wide receiver. Well, this is the part of the show where I tell you everybody has fucking COVID, because everybody has COVID. Everybody got COVID. You listening, you might have COVID, or you might know someone who has COVID. We may or may not all have COVID. It may be like HPV. Who knows? But yeah, he got COVID. He's not playing. Lamar Jackson, it was announced today, probably about an hour or so ago, he had COVID. He has COVID-19 now. So not only does he have COVID, but the Rams are shutting down the facilities because of the outbreak. There's been about four cases. Mark Ingram, J.K. Dobbins, they got COVID. And one of the strength coaches, he's actually being reprimanded for his actions, which caused the COVID outbreak at the Ravens facilities that are now shut down. And the Ravens Steelers game, which was supposed to happen today, we were supposed to get a triple header of football, but that didn't happen. That was supposed to be the night game. That game pretty much getting pushed out to Sunday, and Lamar Jackson won't play in a huge divisional game with the 10-0 Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Ravens kind of need this to stay alive in the playoffs, because I think they're like 6-4. It's a struggle out there. But anyway, the NFL put in new COVID, pretty much COVID rules for the sideline players. You have to be wearing a mask. Under no circumstances can you not be. Bills tight end Tommy Sweeney has myocarditis due to COVID-19. Pretty much a heart, scars on your heart. We talked about it. You know, there was a guy who had a blood clot in his heart. He died. First D1 athlete, notably, to die from COVID. But some people are still disputing it. But they're saying, no, he died from a COVID-related blood clot. So anybody who, if you know somebody who has COVID or has it, you might want to get an EKG done. You might want to get your heart checked out, because it's hell on people. It's hell on your heart. It's attacking people's bodies in all different types of ways. So, you know, be safe out there. And, yeah, so now for some college football news. Again, to start us with the college football segment, everybody got fucking COVID, bro. Everybody has COVID. Everybody, all over the place in college football, getting COVID. It was supposed to be a really big game. Wisconsin versus Ohio State got canceled because Wisconsin was having issues with COVID. So now Wisconsin isn't eligible to play in the Big Ten title game because they're not going to make it to six games, which is what they needed to play in the Big Ten title game. Because Ohio State barely beat Indiana like 42 to 35. So looks like they're damn near about to just skate to a Big 12 title. It's crazy, man. It's a Miami Hurricanes head coach Manny Diaz has COVID. Former Tennessee head coach Phil Fulmer, who won the school's national championship, I want to say 1999, with T. Martin at quarterback the year after Peyton Manning left, he has COVID. 19th ranked Northwestern beat 10th ranked Wisconsin. Yeah. It kind of sucks, though, that their game got canceled. So it's like you lose and then you're double out of the rankings. Like that sucks for Wisconsin. Just the whole state, honestly, is dealing with the outbreak. It's kind of trash. But there's nothing you can really do. But in addition to everything going on, Dabo Swinney, this is probably some of the biggest college football news. And this is a beef a long time coming. Dabo Swinney, Clemson head coach, called out the Florida State administration for canceling their game against Clemson over COVID-19 concerns. But Clemson said they followed all the protocols. You know, when they got out there, they actually got to the stadium. They were there the day of the game, and they canceled it. They said, well, we're only going to play you, Florida State, is if you come to Clemson or you pay all our fees to get down to Florida State, because we're ready to play, and you cowered out. So not only did Dabo piss off the ACC commissioner, but he pissed off pretty much Florida State's administration. They're like, you know, we did what was best for the students. Mike Norvell, the Florida State's head coach, who's already been hit with COVID himself and a bunch of his players and a bunch of mass exodus. Oh, yeah, and Dabo's when he said, Clemson's fine. Florida State's had three or four head coaches in the past couple of years. They're clearly the ones with issues. And I'm just like, damn, you didn't have to shoot at them like that. Bruh said, you've had three to four coaches in the past 3 to 4 years. Like, he openly pretty much bitch slapped your administration. It's like when you got a big homie and then you see your big homie get beat up by somebody else. So I guess the person that beat up your big homie is now your big homie, and your big homie is now your little homie. Because you don't have the same amount of respect for him. But damn. Yeah. So Dabo Swinney went in. And, you know, he's been the main one pushing people to want to do COVID or want to play through COVID. You know, saying he has God on the side and this, that, and the third. And, you know, I'm not the most religious person. Definitely not anti-religion, because I was raised in it, but I'm definitely going to go ahead and say There's an old story about how God kept sending some dumbass a boat and a train and a plane and an automobile and all types of shit so he could not drown in the ocean, and the dude didn't take none of it. And then when he died and got to heaven, he was like, God, what the fuck? Like, how you not look out for me? And God's like, bro, I sent you like the sequel to 300. I sent you like a whole fucking cavalry of people to save your life, and you still didn't get the hint, stupid. So I'm gonna go and just say, you know what? Maybe, just maybe, Dabo Swinney should calm down, because him, like a lot of people who are either Trump supporters or, you know, that Southern Bible Belt football coaches, they love to seem to think that they're, even though they're not smart enough to be anything other than a football coach, they seem to think that it's okay to sit up here and say, you know what, I know better than the medical staff. Because he literally came out and said he knew better than the medical staff of Florida State. Even though, plot twist, fun fact, Clemson had a player who caught COVID and they brought them to Florida State. So the player from Florida State and from Clemson got on the plane with Clemson, had COVID, and Florida State's like, hey, what the fuck is wrong with y'all? You bringing this sickly over here? Like, what is wrong with y'all? Which is ironic, because the whole state of Florida, they literally did a map. Florida is contaminating the entire world with COVID. Just Florida. Like, just Florida. Forget Texas. Forget parts of California. Even though California is mostly, at least, we've all been wearing masks. And we annoyed as shit, too. But still. Florida has literally been a fucking contamination point. Like, the hive. Like, the scourge. Like, if we were in a zombie apocalypse movie, if we were in, like, Resident Evil, that'd be ground zero, damn near. Somehow they've become like an enclave of just COVID because of the nasty shit that they be doing, just passing it around. Like, literally COVID's just coming out of Florida's asshole. But whatever, they even said, yo, you brought a dude over here, you brought a player, even if you quarantine him, he had COVID. We already have our own problems in Tallahassee, let alone the rest of Florida. We're canceling this game. I mean, Clemson probably would have curb stomped them like 43-7, but that's not the point. And I think Florida State's like, look, this is a down year. We've been getting our ass kicked. We don't need to risk another ass whooping to Clemson. Yeah, we're going to cancel this game. And Dabo's like, we want to play, because he's chasing Nick Saban in Alabama. That's the only reason. Because if Alabama was trash this year and Clemson was the far out favorite, he would have fell back. But with all these ACC teams canceling games, like, Clemson's the de facto ACC champ already. North Carolina lost. Notre Dame is their only real threat, and they had a bunch of cases. But, you know, I guess that's just how it goes. Arizona had to have their home opener canceled. They had lost to USC a couple weeks ago. Their home opener against Northern Arizona got canceled. The Apple Cup game, a legendary game, was going on for almost 100 years between Washington State and Washington. Shout out to McKellistein and Elijah Jackson. Shout out to, you know, all the former Lyndale Cardinals doing their thing, balling out in the Pac-12. That game got canceled against Washington State versus Washington because Washington State has a lot of COVID issues right now. Pittsburgh versus Virginia Tech, the players, if the game doesn't get canceled, they're going to be wearing masks literally while they're playing because of mandates. That's how, like, bad it is. I would hate to be playing football with a mask and a helmet. But that's what they're going to do. And another shocker, because UCLA is trash for college football news. UCLA is trash. But we all knew that. They suck. They pulled a Greg Jennings.
I put the team on my back, dude.
They almost beat Oregon, 11th ranked Oregon. They lost 38-35. And Clemson, now, Chip Kelly has talent at UCLA, but it's UCLA, so they're just, they just can't find success. Like, the hole's right there, and they somehow find a way to square peg that shit. You know, it is what it is sometimes. And lastly, a story for Penn State. This isn't really a good one for Penn State. They've, let's just say, they're going through some shit. Like, some real issues. You got a former player, Isaiah Humphreys, pretty much saying that James Franklin told him to lie to the cops about a fight that happened in 2018. Told university investigators, he told him to lie about a fight that happened. Actually, it was a fight with teammate Mekhi Parsons, who's pretty much on pace to be the fifth overall pick. Or at least definitely a top 10 pick. You know, he's suing Penn State. He transferred to Cal, but he's suing Penn State. Pretty much said that Humphreys and Parsons were involved in an altercation in March 2018, which caused Humphreys to pull a knife when Parsons would not stop choking him. He's a defensive back. Parsons is a linebacker, by the way. That's a crazy fight when your middle linebacker's choking out one of your DBs. That's crazy. But yeah, so a Penn State spokesperson told Barr, pretty much, you know, Franklin has made it clear he did not instruct Humphreys to avoid contacting authorities. That's crazy. So the allegation is Humphreys added that Franklin came and said, don't talk to the police because Micah is a starting player and makes money. So if he gets in trouble, he's gone. Pretty much, Humphreys took that as a threat. Like, if you snitch on my best player who's making me money and keeping me employed here, you're going to be gone. And Humphreys' suit also alleges that Parsons, the defensive tackle Damian Barber, and defensive lineman Yetur Gross-Matos. What the hell? Wow. This is crazy, guys. This is crazy. So Humphreys' suit alleges that Michael Parsons, defensive tackle Damian Barber, and defensive lineman, who's now an outside linebacker for the Carolina Panthers, Yetur Gross-Matos, sexually assaulted him during their time as teammates. Barber allegedly said he was going to Sandusky. Humphreys, pretty much referencing former defensive coordinator out of Penn State, Jerry Sandusky, who raped. He's in prison right now after being convicted on 45 counts of sexual assault and rape of young boys, a lot of whom were players around the program, players who went to the program, former coaches, a lot of sick shit. Jerry Sandusky's a pathetic excuse of life, but yeah. So two players interviewed for the report. Wow, this is disturbing. So two players interviewed for the report said Barber would simulate sex acts while naked in front of other players and sometimes inappropriately touched him. Some allegations were disputed, including one player said Humphreys lies for no reason. Obviously, none of them responded to what has happened, and Penn State and Franklin pretty much said, yeah, we want this dismissed because it's bogus. That's a lot of accusations to throw around to say someone was trying to rape you when in a football locker room, some weird shit happens. I'm going to just be honest with you. Some people are more just outrageous with what they do than others, but things happen. But sometimes a lot of that sometimes is nipped in the bud by punching a person in the face. Like, fights happen, things happen, but that's a, I don't know if he has a personal vendetta against Penn State, or if he's actually right, because a lot of stuff has been happening at Penn State. A lot of people transferring, issues have been going on. James Franklin is 0-5 at Penn State this season. It's the worst start in Penn State history, school history. Like, he's probably going to get fired. It's not a good look. It doesn't help his situation. It's just not a good look. But that is the end of college football. And we're going to go on to, I guess you could say, greener pastures. I mean, with the way things are going, man, I really don't even, know what to say about that story. That shit is crazy.
What?
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you. I double dare you, motherfucker. Say what one more time.
Yeah, what the fuck is going on at Penn State? I'm thoroughly confused. And I kind of hope they get it together. But at the end of the day, you never really know. So, let's get to a game that we all like to play, but we can somehow never find the drop for it. Except for right there. So, Sean Payton pulled up Roddy White, who, by the way, Sean Payton is the Saints head coach. Roddy White, former Atlanta Falcons, great wide receiver. He was pretty much there before Julio Jones and put the team on his back. But Roddy White had some tweets about Taysom Hill starting for the Saints, pretty much saying, how dare they put this. Pretty much said he was a bum and he wasn't good. A lot of people in the league don't really think he's that good. The fact that he got the start over Jameis Winston, even though there were reports saying a lot of people wanted Winston to start over Taysom Hill because they thought he's a project player. Kind of crazy. But anyway. So, Sean Payton after the game was throwing shade, throwing shots, pulled up all of his old tweets about Taysom Hill. And it's like, damn, I like that Sean Payton is actively petty on Twitter. Like, there are very few coaches, like Lane Kiffin is the standard for petty and trolling. But Sean Payton is up there. He's had some pretty good Twitter beefs. So y'all should go back and check that out. I'm going to say this was a touchdown because the better Taysom Hill does while Drew Brees is hurt, the better Sean Payton looks. Like, Sean Payton is untouchable in New Orleans at this point. Brees is on his last leg. You got Winston, and you got Taysom Hill, who's a project player who, you know, you get what you get out of him. If he is only good enough for like a couple games and can ride you the way of momentum, okay, he'll do that. And he'll still be playing special teams and covering kicks and all types of weird shit because, you know, he can do it. Good for him. But he's 30 and he's not going to sustain like a career as a quarterback long term. That's just not going to happen. But in the short term, it's definitely a touchdown. Definitely a touchdown for the Saints and Drew Brees. And Sean Payton pulling up those petty ass tweets on Roddy White, especially since he played against Roddy White for years. And they used to smack the Saints. Next up, Jim Harbaugh, the Ravens head coach, when the Titans, before they dog walked them to an overtime victory, but before the game, before the Titans played the Ravens this past week, Jim Harbaugh walked up on a lot of the Titans players who were dancing on a logo like he wanted smoke, like, yo, get off our logo. And he felt a way post-game towards the Titans head coach, Mike Vrabel. And, yeah, it's kind of looking like a USC Pete Carroll, like Stanford, USC versus Jim Harbaugh, Stanford kind of beef. Like, what's your deal, dude? That's just not cool. Like, it's kind of looking like that. Looking like somebody's getting punked talking trash, and then they dogging you on the field and proving it, even though you're the better team. But are you the better team if you can't beat the other team? Who knows? Yeah, so Madden 21 got updates. They're putting out. Actually, no, it's the wrong one. My bad. Sorry. So Quinn Ewers, I don't know, some high school kid. He's pretty much the number one ranked player and number one ranked QB in the 2022 recruiting class. Committed to Ohio State after decommitting from Texas. This is a huge deal because they were like, oh my goodness, Texas football's back, because they say that shit every year. And I keep telling you, Texas is trash.
Oh man, hey.
The only thing more trash and overrated than Texas football is a Kevin Hart comedy special. Yeah, I fucking said it. If you don't hear nothing else this episode, I hope you heard that punchline. Because I said what I said.
Oh, man. Hey.
It's a touchdown because if I was a top five player, I wouldn't want to play at Texas. Tom Herman's not going to develop you. You're going to get you in the NFL and be trash. Like, if you're not a receiver or a decent safety, or maybe a D lineman, you're probably end up going undrafted. But like, Texas isn't producing quality NFL talent right now. They're just not. It's a waste. Like, and he's the number one QB in the country. Why would you stifle yourself by going? You see what Sam Ehlinger's dealing with at Texas. He's a great talent. He'll probably catch an NFL roster. And Texas is still trash. So is Whataburger. But yeah, after all that, Ohio State is producing QBs, NFL QBs. And that's where guys are going to go, especially a guy who's the number one player in his class, his graduating class. And as a sophomore, he's putting in work. Dual threat, really going to be considered a pocket passer, but the sky's the limit for a guy like that. So it's just smart to go to Ohio State for a QB right now. Or elite, like the elite, elite of elite QBs, you should go to Ohio State. Now, Texas, on the other hand, I mean, if you get offered a scholarship offer to Texas and it's your only scholarship offer, go. Don't be stupid. But Texas ain't winning nothing right now. They can't even win the Big 12, and there's only 10 teams, and they're only going to play like 6 games. I think senior, and by the way, a lot of schools are implementing that for senior night, only the parents can be there. I know Boise State did that because the state of Idaho has like strict orders, but yeah, that's a thing that's happening. So, man, I feel like if you're a senior, you should kind of get this year over again. Like, if you're a senior, you should be allowed to come back next year. Like, didn't you have a senior night already? Yeah, it was COVID. It don't count. I get an extra year. But, you know, I don't know how that's going to play out, but I think that's something that should be considered. If you're a senior and you didn't get to play a full season this year, you should be allowed to come back, especially if you know you're not going to make it to the league. Like, yeah, let me get that extra year. Let me get that six-year senior status. I appreciate it. You said my scholarship don't count if I opt out or opt in either way. This shouldn't, like, no one should lose a year of eligibility. So technically, if you're a senior, you should be able to play this year. And if there's a full season next year, that's only right. Right? I don't know. That's just me. That's just something I think that should be done. But hey, again, Texas football's trash. And the only thing that delivers more, but the only thing that underdelivers more than Texas football is, again, a Kevin Hart comedy special. And yes, that special was trash. Can't keep talking about your money and like and whatever. Either way, Kevin Hart's comedy special was a turnover for me. He funny, but he ain't been funny in a minute. Yeah. So, the Thanksgiving Day triple header. Total turnover because, you know, only two out of the three happened. Houston beat the dog shit out of the Detroit Lions. But I'm used to seeing the Lions get pounded out on Thanksgiving. Like, honestly, Falcons games and Lions games on Thanksgiving should come with a parental advisory sticker or some type of an OnlyFans warning, because it feels like akin to X-rated adult activities when I watch the Detroit Lions just play bad football in prime time. Because it is really bad football. Like, the Texans are bad. But holy shit, the Lions suck. But also, I feel bad for Matthew Stafford. Greatest quarterback in the team's history. And it don't matter because your team's always trash. Like, this dude can do things with his arm that most human beings just can't do. And he'll never really get the credit for how great of a player he is and how he grew as a player because he plays in Detroit. That's my fear for Joe Burrow being in Cincy. Yeah, you're great, but the Bengals are cursed and they suck. Just like the Lions are cursed and they suck. But that's what happens when Henry Ford, if you didn't know, actually worked with the Nazis, because he had factories out there and he was getting people like, hey, you're bombing too close to my factories. Like, you can look this up. A lot of American companies did business with Hitler, and Henry Ford was one of the main ones. Yeah. Crazy times. But anyway. So Colin Kaepernick dropped a video and a tweet pretty much saying him and Eric Reid are ready to play. Being ready to play. At this point, here's my take. Kaepernick got to just get his football shit up, bro. It's not coming back. The only way Kaepernick is going to see a football field is if he buys Madden and plays as himself on a team of his choosing. That's the only way it's going to happen. Eric Reed can still play. Honestly, the Raiders really need him because, boy, Jonathan Abram is just not hit. Like, if we were playing Madden, I would just move Jonathan Abram to outside linebacker because this motherfucker can't cover anything in the deep third. Like, the fact that he gave that touchdown to Kelsey, which, by the way, fuck the Kansas City Chiefs. Just want to say that. And the click they claim. You know, for the Raiders, who've literally just passed on everyone, like, to get that close to almost beat the Chiefs and then not win, it's just a kick in the balls with steel-toe boots on your birthday. That's what that feels like. It's like the first person who had to sit through Kevin Hart's special and pretend like they liked it. That's what that felt like. But Kaepernick really got to give it up. Eric Reed, again, can still play. I guess he turned down being on a practice squad. He didn't want to go through all that, which I get it. I feel like they probably are offering him a lot of sleight of hands. But some of these guys are okay with eating shit to just get on the roster. And some people might have to do that. Other people won't do that. It all depends on what your principles are and what your standards are and where your line is. Because once you compromise your line, you no longer really have anything to stand on. Unless you try to make amends or doing me a COPA or whatever. But, you know, it is what it is. Yeah, I just don't think Kaepernick's ever going to play again. Kind of wish he would just stop. Like, we get it. We get it that you want to play. And it's been like 2,000 or so days or whatever. Like, since you were allowed on the roster, we get it. But that moment is over, bro. You're never getting back in the league. It's just done. I hate to say it. Yeah, Taysom Hill actually played good, but again, this is where my take is that they beat the Falcons, who are nobodies. Against an elite defense, Taysom Hill is going to get exposed, and the Saints are going to be in trouble. The Saints have an elite defense. And if they somehow choke in the playoffs, this could be the reason. Because of Taysom Hill, if Drew Brees can't come back in the time necessary from his collapsed lung and severely broken ribs. You got Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston. Like, holy shit, that is a crapshoot if I've ever seen one. And I just don't think Taysom Hill's going to sustain it. If you're not, he can. If the line does what they do, he'll look good, but he won't be the reason they win. He has to be the reason they don't lose. And even with that, I don't think it's enough when the team knows that the guy playing quarterback is prone to run and they'll eventually adjust to what you're doing. Teams know how to take away Michael Thomas. Teams know how to take away Alvin Kamara. So what you going to do? Also, PJ Walker, XFL star, undrafted QB out of Temple. He got his first win as a starting quarterback in the NFL for the Carolina Panthers, replacing the injured Teddy Bridgewater. He threw some bombs. He threw a couple of dimes. That was really dope to see from PJ Walker. I'm glad that things worked out for him, and one of the few XFL guys that, you know, managed to get their career back going. So good for him. It's a wonderful story. Carolina Panthers still suck, but hey, it's a wonderful story. And lastly, Alex Smith gets his first win as a starting quarterback since his gruesome, horrible injury. He got a second win today against the Cowboys. I guess Ron Rivera was right for sticking with Alex Smith. Antonio Gibson's looking great at running back. You got to get a guy who can get your playmakers on the perimeter of the ball, and Alex Smith is looking like that yet again, a great bridge QB. Hopefully Haskins can rebound, figure things out, and have a better season next year. But it would be a shame if they just totally gave up on him. But they're probably going to totally give up on Haskins because it's just, that's the politics. Like, a lot of QBs who have great potential will get squandered by a veteran who can still play because these teams legitimately don't want to take the time to invest and build around a guy like the Bills have done with Josh Allen. Very few teams are doing that. Miami is kind of doing it, but a team like the WTFs, they've never shown the ability to do that, like historically. They just haven't, so I'm not shocked. Is what it is. But on to, you know, the end of the show. This is it. I'm done. I ain't got shit else to say. So I'm just make this rant quick. Shout out to all y'all. If you're even listening, shout out to you for listening. So, shout out to all my people in the food industry. Shout out to Eric. Shout out to Izzy. Shout out to Pete. Shout out to everybody. Shout out to people in the food industry, man, because, oh boy, we deal with a lot of y'all stupid-ass people's problems. And a lot of y'all, I judge people on how they act in grocery stores. Like, you do dumb shit down there. Like, if you don't do something as simple as putting a shopping cart back, a service that is free and that was done for your benefit, that'd actually be better if people cut it out and said you're on your own. I'm judging you if you don't put shopping carts back. Like, that's a character flaw if you don't do no shit like that. And yeah, man, just people act really stupid during the holidays in these stores, and you talk to people like they won't punch you in the face, and I just don't understand that. like, be kind and courteous to these people, especially people who are essential workers. Like, be kind and courteous to them, man. They got families, too. Trust me, they wish they could be home and getting paid to do nothing. They wish they could be scamming EDD shit. But some of us have integrity, and some of us can't do that because, shit, we'll probably get caught. So anytime you out somewhere, make sure you say thank you to the people that's helping you, because you could be putting their life in danger if you think about it. During this pandemic, you could be putting some essential worker's life in danger because your ass want to be selfish, so just staying home. Yeah, tip your drivers a little bit more than normal. But, yeah, I don't really give a shit about Thanksgiving as a holiday. It really means nothing to me because the whole origins of it are racist as hell. So is Black Friday, because they killed a lot of the Native Americans at these dinners. You can look up the history. It's not Hotep. It's not no Kundalini energy type shit. And you can say, oh, I don't want to hear Kenny talk race. Well, then I guess you just don't really give a shit about Black people's plights like that, because when we stop being journalists, when we stop being athletes, we're still Black people at the end of the day. Some of your favorite rappers, some of the best things in life you like, a Black person created it, so show some fucking respect. And shout out to all my indigenous people who know they're indigenous. And if you're a $5 Indian or the descendant of a $5 Indian, fuck you on your mother's birthday in front of your father. All right, that was kind of dark and morbid, but I'm going to really actually end it on a good note, man. My mom came back, got home safely from Oakland. Shout out to you, Mom. I just think it was really messed up for you to insult my favorite slippers that I definitely wore in the 200 episode and every episode since, that everybody felt they needed to roast my dope-ass slippers. My mom said I was wearing some fucking Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer face-type slippers on my feet. She said, I wish I didn't get off the plane because I don't want to see that shit. Like, did you really come outside with those shoes on? My mom's a savage. Yeah. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the people in my life who roast me unapologetically, because it keeps me humble. And it keeps me sharp, because I'm coming back with an insult on your ass. Like, I appreciate that. So this is definitely a short episode. Hopefully you get something out of this 50 minutes while you're doped out on tryptophan, whatever that shit's called, the turkey high, whatever it is, or if you're high off edibles right now, salute to you, salute to everybody working and happy to have the day off, salute to people who had to work today and are dealing with bullshit, and again, if you are alone during this holiday season, prayers with you, please don't do anything drastic, don't take yourself out, don't sub out the game, we still need you, we love you, and y'all have an amazing rest of the whatever the fuck this year is, because I don't know, bro. Like, I don't know. Between everything going on, I just don't know what the fuck to expect. So, salute to y'all. And, oh yeah, Piccolo's black. Nerd! And lastly, happy holidays. Y'all stay safe. Happy birthday to all the people at the Good News Radio whose birthdays was this week. Salute to all y'all, man. Peace out. This is Kenneth Berry. Shout out to X-Squad Affiliates. Shout out to Full Press Coverage. Shout out to all our affiliates. Everybody, wherever you are. I'm going to go home, get drunk, and eat the dope-ass food that I cooked. Peace.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.